Okay, so we'll begin this evening's meeting of the Finance and Facilities Committee, January 28th, and it's 6:42 here at Central Services Office. The first order of business then this evening will be review and approval of minutes from the January 14th meeting. Would you please take a moment and review those minutes and let me know if you need some approval?
I'm good with this.
Okay, Dan?
Yeah.
Okay, the actual first order of business then this evening will be the Hadley Junior High LMC remodel bid results. As you know, the administration, parents, and staff at Hadley have been working, I'm going to say, since probably our initial meetings last March, for almost a full year. We've been working as a team, developing, envisioning, and developing what that space, the current LMC, would look like in the future, something that will carry us out for several years after development. Some of the major ideas that came out of that, obviously, the entire space is going to be demoed and stripped down to the floor, the ceiling, and all the walls. And some of the ideas that have come out of there is to move the front entrance of the LMC, provide for more natural lighting, incorporate more seamless incorporation in the courtyard. Major concern was creating more flexible meeting spaces, seating, and access to mobile technology. So on November 29th, we went out to bid, and bids were due back on the 15th of January. We bid it as a base bid project with four alternates. You do have the spreadsheet attached on your board report here. you have the base bids. Alternate A1 was the movable wall system that's on a demonstration area that's actually on the west side of the facility or the space. A2 is the exterior storefront, so on the east side, the area that actually faces the courtyard, there were thoughts that we would take that out and just replace it with all new windows, doors, and so forth and so on. We didn't feel as though that was really a cost-effective idea. It was included in the alternates, but as your recommendation, as you're seeing your recommendation, that's not an ultimate recommendation. A3, we have flooring, which is, again, been developed with staff and the architects, and that is cylindrical figures in several spaces, I think about 17 or 18 spaces, spread throughout the facility at Hadley, not just in the library, but along the front door, everywhere where there seemed to be a more a coming together of hallways and spaces and things of that nature. The people that were involved in this process thought it would be great to just sort of incorporate that to give the building and the area more direction and sort of a point of interest where two hallways may meet and join. And then finally, the E1 alternate is for the audiovisual part of the facility, the Hadley LMC. So, what happened? We had 12 contractors come back and submit proposals. ATP Enterprises of Northfield was the low bidder with a price of $777,000. And increase and alternates of A1, A3, and E1 for a total bid of $977,000. I also wanted to mention that $70,000 in extras or allowances has been built in to everyone's pricing, and that has been acknowledged. We met with ATP, meaning Dave and I, the Director of Buildings and Ground, myself, and FGM Architects, and interviewed them. They went through a series of questions for us. As you'll see in your board report, we have some serious concerns about their ability to complete this project. First of all, to complete it, and especially to complete it in a timely fashion. Mm-hmm. This project really is scheduled to start on or about the week of June 1st and substantial completion. I mean, they pretty much have to be out the door and us ready to take that space over by about August 10th. They also had a couple problems with some insurance and some bidding, some bonding. So we don't think that is the best the contractor to do the work for us.
Where's that bonding part?
That's coming from me.
Oh, okay.
And also, this is still a developing story. They told us that they would give us an answer last Friday as to whether or not they would actually be able to secure the appropriate bonds and so forth. And then they called the architects this morning and said, well, they'll actually have that information to us tomorrow morning. So I'm just, there were timelines or deadlines built into these reports. A lot of the information is sort of happening as throughout the day today.
But overall, we have less confidence in them than we should for a low bid.
Overall,
acceptance
of the recommendations that I've brought to this board in the past 6 years, this is probably the least confident of all the contractors that we had. Eric, I think you were on the board about 6 years ago when we had those problems at Lincoln and all those mm-hmm. projects that were spread throughout the year or supposed to be done in a given summer, and really we were finishing that up in December. And I think we were writing checks to the subcontractors in January downstairs in our offices. Mm-hmm. I have about the same degree of
confidence.
What was that?
That was R.W. Clark Continental Construction.
Right. Okay. Right. And they also, D&B, they had like three different names. Sorry.
Well, those are the two that I was aware of.
Well, you know, I'm looking at this, I'm like, you know, they don't even, ADP doesn't even have a correct name in their references.
Well, they had just, because of some legal issues with the owners, they had just reincorporated. So they were DES, I believe, Corporation. That went out of business about a year ago, and now they were reincorporating under the name ATP. When we spoke with their references, you know, they said, you know, they're really great guys. They've been here whenever we needed them, and the timeline was getting very sort of to the end. They threw a lot of labor at it and got it taken care of. But there was a lot of construction was good, contract administration, payouts, certifiable payrolls, things of that nature were very, very poor and caused a lot of extra work. When I talked to Naperville, they said that they actually had to bring the architects in to review paperwork on an ongoing basis, so they had to increase their fees to the architects. So,
doesn't the architect, we pay them like 50% for management of the project. Anyway, there's like 40 to 50% of the fee is...
Well, if the fee is $100,000, typically construction management is about 25%. The other is design and building the bid documents. So there are three different parts. What exactly that percentage is, I don't recall.
That's what I remember from previous documents.
But that is also for a normal going project. Like that would involve, if I call them up on the phone, need some consultation, maybe one or two site visits a week. What has happened with this ATP and another at Naperville Park District is that the architects actually had to come in and sort of manage the project for them.
Yeah, I think the difference, if I could just, they do oversight of the project. So from that standpoint, you know, that global term of management of the project is the responsibility of the architects. We expect and rely on them to do that, be on site, check in, what's going on, making sure that the pace is where we need it to be. The other management issues are the management of the construction company's work. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where the problem was resting in this company. They weren't managing their own administrative procedures. And our architects can't go in and do that. You know, that would not be a part of their
The documentation you're talking about. Yeah. You had the architect come in and help them do their
their submittals and things like that
for payouts.
And I think they were this architect that was involved with Naperville, they even came in and started to had to set up the subcontractors in terms of scheduling them for their work and so forth.
Well, that was going to be my question. There's a difference between, like, Ann, what you're saying, and I think, Dan, this is where I think you were going, and project management. And my concern in this kind of tight timeline, I mean, we don't have any wiggle room. We need to get back. Teachers need to be in place. All the tech stuff has to be ready to go. And, you know, at the end of the letter from Linda Lane from FGM, she talks about the fact that the board has the discretion to exercise our right. Where does that come from? Is that law?
That's law.
Law. Yeah. That's what I thought. I just want to confirm that because I certainly don't want any bounce back from making a decision that's best for the district.
To be honest with you, I called the attorneys. I spoke with Brian last week, and he said, Bob, just based preliminarily on what you're telling me, he says, I would I feel more confident you recommending the second lowest bidder than the lowest bidder and then having issues down the street.
Right.
Well, I mean, any of our projects in theory could go over. How do we make sure those stay? Do we have clauses in there in terms of time? Is there not something that we can have? I'm just trying to understand why this is different than like the parking lot, which we had.
Absolutely, and that's because when we interviewed that contractor and checked their references, they came through without a hiccup. Mm-hmm. This contractor, we're getting all sorts of red flags.
I think it's exposure. I mean, say we go with the lowest bidder. I feel like the district is walking into this already needing to have its antenna up. And when you hired Dave, I remember you talking about wanting to have a person in place who would be that front person in terms of oversight. But he's not a construction project manager. That's, in my opinion, that's not his job. We hire these companies to do that work, boots on the ground.
Well,
so I feel like if we're not listening to what they're... I mean, it's the fact that one person said no comment, didn't give any comment, but the other one said absolutely, would not hire them for a project of this size again, would not, is, I don't know, pretty direct information about...
Well, the other thing is
confidence.
That if we were to put someone, myself or Dave, directly managing that project, it opens the district to potential liability that we wouldn't ordinarily have if we hired a general contractor and told them to go about their work.
I hear what you're saying, Dan. There's risk in every project. It could, when the village was doing the Hawthorne work, the street work, there were machines that went down that just stopped working, right? And they have some mechanical problems. And that was like 10 days.
Where it just sat
there and threw the project off. So, I mean, certainly things can be unforeseen, but I'm feeling like if we know it in advance, then there's a different level of response.
And this is their references. These are the people that they said we should talk to them because they'll tell you what a great job we've done, and we're not getting glowing recommendations for their own references.
Did they have any response to when we told them what the references said?
Mm. We didn't have I did not engage them in additional conversation. We had called them in. We had a meeting. We asked if they could meet all the requirements as we set forth in the bid documents and as the questions that we asked. I don't go back and ask for clarification between the contractor and one of their references.
It is what it is.
Well, just in, FYI, this is what we're seeing.
I mean, they talk, a couple references talk about the fact that, the quality of the construction was, fine, and I might use them again for the right project, whatever that is, but that, poor performance by a subcontractor. So I guess when I was reading this, I thought, so do you keep your fingers crossed and trust that all the PM stuff is going to go well so that their quality can shine through? But with our timeline, I feel like that's a huge risk.
We have about 8 or 9 weeks really to get this project done, so it's a pretty condensed time.
I was just going to ask, FGM is recommending the second firm, just in the interest of transparency. I mean, do they work together all the time, or is there any connection there? I just want to make sure that our architect is not recommending someone because it's their preferred.
I'm not aware of any relationship there. Not aware of any professional or business relationship between FGM and the second lowest contractor.
That's something we could ask FGM just to make sure.
Ask them to make sure.
How many times have you worked with this company?
Right.
Because we've never worked with them before. This would be our first time working with this company, I believe.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely.
And so certainly they've not been thrown our way for other projects. But, I agree with you in the interest of making sure that we're, not...
Yeah, we need to cross our T's.
I've never worked with these guys.
I just want to make sure it's done, but I just want to make sure that it was
right.
I'll be happy to answer the question, and we'll include that in our next board report.
And you've spoken to the attorneys, and if we don't pick the lowest bidder, is there documentation?
The lowest qualified.
Yeah, and that's the issue of qualifications.
But do we need to have our ducks in a row to quantify that. So if they came back and sued us because we didn't pick them, even though they were the lowest bidder, I mean, do we have appropriate documentation in matters of this type?
We'll have the bond insurance, you know.
Right.
We wanted A-plus insurance.
Well, we're down to A. We changed that when we had all that kickback a few years ago from an A-plus.
Weren't
to
they an A-minus?
They were mm-hmm. an A-minus 5, still rated excellent,
mm-hmm.
but just not that A. So that's one of the issues. The other one is that in the bid documents, it stated that you had to be in business for 5 years. In business of 5 years and doing business with similar businesses. So education. Mm-hmm. They've only been in business for 1 year and they have not done any education-related projects of this magnitude or this size.
Mm-hmm.
So we're comfortable.
Solid.
We're comfortable that there's no pushback they could do and sue us that we're not.
And just as my gut feeling, these guys might be happy to just walk away from it, from this bid, because we heard that they also had a bid accepted on that same day for an $800,000 bid out in Indian Prairie or something, it was mentioned. And what they're having problems with right now, and the reason I don't think I've received verification of their bonds, is because they're having difficulty getting that bonding threshold between two major projects.
Well, then if they can't provide the requirements that I guess it's our duty to go to the next one.
They have really already passed their deadline. They should have already submitted all the information that we needed. And again, I spoke with the attorneys, and Brian says, Bob, I feel more secure with you making this recommendation than going with the lowest bidder and having to deal with them for issues. And again, he reminded me, remember that deal we had 5 or 6 years ago with
mm-hmm.
Continental Construction, RW Car. So.
Well, that's good information to have that you just shared with us, because if they can't leverage, you know, the bonding, then I get, you know, then there's equal concern about whether or not they can manage two large-scale projects
that might pull out by that time.
That is kind of my feeling, is that they would like to withdraw or would withdraw. So, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know that for a fact, but that's what I know as of today, and we'll continue to keep you updated. So we have the lowest bidder, and that would be, the second lowest bidder is HAP Construction for a base bid of $945,000. They priced the movable door at $90,000, the exterior storefront at $51,000. The flooring at 37, and the E1 alternative with audio visual. Total price is $1,175,000. We are looking at a recommendation with the base plus A1, A3, and E1 for a total price of $1,124,000. And again, there's approximately $70,000 in allowances built into this project. We've been very good at the past couple of years, well, the past 5 years or so, in managing allowances have never gone over our budget. So that would certainly be my expectation again.
Bob, with that total over the million, and I know we talked this before, I can't remember the answer, but there's like different triggers for proportional fees with FGM.
Correct.
These
fees are estimated, their fees for the construction part of this project are for about $85,000. That's the approximate number that we've been working with, because it will be based upon the ultimate construction cost.
But what will it change based on
that threshold? You know, that scale is included with the FGM contract, yeah. And I don't have it.
It's like
on hand.
The higher it goes, the lower percentage
right.
it is.
Right,
right.
That's
right. It might be like 8.5%. If it's 85,000, maybe it's the 8.5% once you hit the million versus 9% or something.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. and we can pull out that contract then. And let you know what that is. So, any questions that I can ask? Can I do you? I might as well just ask it. Do I have support of the Finance Committee in bringing this recommendation forward to the board for discussion at our next meeting in February?
When do you say what all the ones were doing?
Well, It's in the board report here. My recommendation is that we go with the base bid and absolutely the A1 movable wall to provide us with the maximum flexibility for the space. And it's a great little learning area that we're going to use for kids and so obviously for kids. We would certainly like to see the A3 alternate, the flooring. And without a doubt, we have to have the E1 audiovisual. So at the bare minimum, what we would look at would be base bid plus A1 and E1.
And what is the flooring here?
The flooring are cylindrical designs. They'll be multicolored, spread, I believe, in around 17 areas throughout the building. Now, right in front of the AMC, the LMC, there is a design pattern in the flooring. That's included in the base bid. But throughout major sort of joining sections where hallways meet and so forth, throughout the building, these other
just as
designs
a symbolic
are spread.
Connection
kind of
to the other, you know, all signs lead back to the LMC.
And don't forget, we're painting that. Our plan is to paint that building, so there'll be integration between the flooring and the paint and so forth.
Mm-hmm. So. Thank you for your responses to my questions, too.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Any other questions on the Hadley LMC? Then I'm hearing none. So just one moment. Let me get my
Maybe just a request. Whenever that is brought to the board, I know there's, we're talking about the construction part right now, but you said there's furniture, equipment, and technology. Maybe it'd be nice just to see that all tied up together to say, when you're approving this, here's all the whole enchilada.
Sure, I'll always try to give you most up-to-date cost estimates. Like Karen's not here, we met with the architects and had some preliminary ideas and thoughts what the furniture is going to entail, and right now our budget for that is about $140,000. And then we spoke just a few minutes ago, Mike has his tech plan and his thoughts in terms of what will be involved in that, and Mike's estimates thus far have been about $150,000.
Is that, this is the, for today's the classroom furniture and equipment bid?
Correct.
Okay.
That's actually, that's part of it.
Okay.
Can I move on to the next order of business then? Okay, so the next order then, the next business will be the 2013 classroom furniture and equipment bid. This is something that we bring to the Finance Committee and ultimately to the board every year in terms of us deciding what we're going to actually be going out to bid for furniture this year. As you know, we just completed the second year of implementation of the 21st Century Classroom. We now have 32 classrooms spread between the four elementary buildings. We're looking to ramp up that implementation for the summer of 2013 and actually bring that up to 32 classrooms. We would like to have the new 21st Century Classroom and then the carpeting concepts introduced for a total of 64 classrooms district-wide, which would then put us over the threshold for 50% of our classrooms. We would probably finish that 21st Century implementation at the elementary level within the next year or two after that. So I've given you just a brief summary in terms of what it looks like in each one of the classrooms with 25 student desks and chairs, teacher desks, the Hokie rockers, beanbag, and computer table and chairs. And then I've given you a price of approximately $291,200. That's for 32 classrooms. The next item on this board report then is an estimate of what the furniture will look like in the Hadley LMC. As I stated earlier, Karen and I have we've developed a plan, and we have the entire team really has seen it. In particular, we've shared the preliminary sort of internal design or what the furniture and fixture is going to look like. We shared it with Chris Abbott and Mr. T over at Hadley, and everybody's given a great thumbs up in terms of what we're looking to implement for next year with regard to furniture. And again, I just said that pricing has come back at about $140,000 so far versus $150,000 in the board report. Then we also, earlier in the year, or actually late last year, we brought some recommendation to the board for capital projects. We included construction type of work that would need to be done or we want to do at the building level for STEM implementation. And then we also talked about actual equipment going into classrooms itself. Given where think tank work is at now, we're not going to be able to do all the things that we would have liked to do for the summer of 2013, but we still have the belief that we'll be implementing STEM next year, just implementing in our usual classrooms that will be designated particularly for STEM and have some different furniture configurations in there. And we put together a very preliminary budget of approximately $100,000 for that project.
That will really be based on the final recommendations that the board approves on the think tank. It's so intertwined with the think tank work that it's hard to make a final decision on that until we...
Sure.
What I'd like to do once we get through this, this whole report is, with your approval and as we gather... where we're going to go with all these recommendations, my thought is that we would go out to bid as one big project for next summer. I think we would gain additional buying power, mm-hmm. certainly attract more vendors. I mean, we're talking about a pretty sizable investment in furniture between the, just a normal 21st century implementation, the Hadley Library, and then STEM. So pretty significant purchasing power there of over $500,000. I've set out a timeline of how this would run through big pre-bid and post-bid approval process. Additional costs and information is I've spoken to Vortex, who was our installer last year. We'll use that same E&I purchasing cooperative, and we estimate the cost to be about $1,400 a classroom or $44,800. So the total financial commitment for the various recommendations here is $556,200 plus the flooring of $44,800 for a total approximate cost of about $601,000. So
this was all in the original capital budget?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, I just want to say that because I think sometimes when we get this, because we haven't seen the budget for a while, we forget that this was already... built into the year numbers.
It's been into the long term, right. The 5-year financial plan that you've seen, right. And it's also been built into the capital projects plan, right. That we use annually, right. To guide our decision making process in terms of where we're going with recommendations.
So there is a line item in the budget.
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay, so that's why I brought it up, because
it's fully
I think
allocated.
We forget sometimes because we're not looking at the budget every day like you guys are.
Well, it's the new budget, right. Which isn't fully developed yet, as you know. But in terms of our budget planning,
right, it's there. I don't know if this is a goofy question, but I'll ask it anyway. The furniture that gets rotated out that we are no longer using, do we donate that? Could we sell it?
It has actually been donated to Chicago Public Schools for the past 2 years.
Okay.
And I know Dave received a call from maybe sort of like an area director of buildings and grounds. He said the teachers that received the furniture was just a static thing.
Yeah. Well, I think we got a thank you.
I think we did, too.
Thank you email or thank you something.
Oh,
something.
Some acknowledgement, and they were very thankful of the district's donation.
That's nice. Good.
We've been doing that ever since we started changing out the desks at Hamlet.
Yeah.
That's cool. When we actually made the initial connection with Chicago Public Schools. So they've literally sent...
Several trucks.
I'm glad to know they're actually using it. You remember how many years ago when they opened up that big warehouse?
Mm-hmm.
And they found all this furniture in there.
All those computers. Just sitting.
Yeah.
Well,
so that's a good thing.
Don't they use it?
I know. Well, it sounds like they are if they're actually sending thank yous.
So then the next order of business this evening then is the... 2012 capital projects reconciliation. Dan, I know you like to see this on an annual basis. We had two major projects last summer, and really this is a reconciliation. Dan, I know you asked about the furniture and the carpeting.
Yeah, I'm just looking for all of the summer projects that we did.
Yeah, the carpeting actually I think came back a little bit less than what we had anticipated. The furniture, I didn't buy any furniture other than what was approved by the board with this particular recommendation for last year. So I just want to make that comment. But we do have two projects that we did do this past summer. Project one was the Hadley parking lot and stormwater project and Andy Elementary School painting project. On the second page, you have a spreadsheet that shows the professional fees associated with the design of the Hadley parking lot, the construction cost, less the alternate along Glencoe that was bid and then pulled out from our under our feet at the last minute by the city of Wheaton, and then other landscaping cost. So if you see in that spreadsheet here, you'll notice the base bid, including alternates, $95,000 of professional fees, just under $1 million for construction cost, and then landscaping cost we had built into that, for a total net cost after the alternate was eliminated was $1,129,999.99. In actuality, we spent $1,047,021 for total under budget of approximately $82,978.
That's great.
Then the next project was the painting projects at the elementary schools. We signed, the board approved, and we signed a contract for $180,500 with some extras. It came out to be approximately $182,380, where we overspent $1,880. I do want to tell you that we did engage Bill's Painting for some other painting that was done throughout the buildings, but that wasn't actually part of the actual bid. If we seen we need some touch-up or something along the lines, there had some a few thousand dollars extra in extras, but not within the scope of their original work. Mm-hmm. So as we came upon something, they would call us and we would approve it.
Why was it slightly over? Was it
more
paint?
Yeah, that was exactly it. There were some colors that were, instead of the bid documents called for two coats, we needed three coats. So we would have to go back and put on an extra coat, and I approved those overages.
$1,800 is pretty close, I guess.
Yeah, we need to.
And that we saved $83,000. We were under budget $83,000.
Well, yeah, and that's why I wanted. This is what it's like to work with a great contractor, because. Pardon me? This is what it's like to work with a great contractor because they were on the job. I mean, this job was actually done a couple weeks before we had thought it would get done.
Yeah.
And even the issue along Hawthorne held us up a little bit. So these guys came in, they did their work, and they just did a great job for us. We're happy to recommend them and would be happy to do work with them again.
How much in allowances was in that?
You know, it was significant. And I told you that we had that $8,000 water main, where the eruption of water main, that was taken out of the allowance portion. You know, I don't remember the exact allowances, but...
probably in the 70,000 range, so you know exactly what you saved.
Right.
What's really, it's you take the allowance out, and then that's beyond that is what you came in under budget.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. Bring that up just because I'm always every time I'm under budget.
Oh, at work.
Oh, well, you're a sandbag.
you added fluff anyway, right? Well, don't PM. Good PMs do that.
this is such good news. Are we going to publish this? With one of the upcoming newsletters, just to toot our horn.
I know how sensitive Erica is to things like that, such as the $500,000 abatement with the DuPage Airport.
That was my pet peeve of the week. The article on the Daily Herald.
Could I ask a clarifying question, Dan? You earlier said seeing all of the cost of summer work and what you see here from us annually is bid work that we went to bid on, which are major projects. So do you want to see all budgeted items for the summer work?
No, just the big ones that we had.
But the details within that we might not have bid out on that.
No, just the big chunk, like the furniture we bid out. You know, I'm just looking for those.
All together.
The big ones that we bid out just...
Okay.
So here's what we did this summer.
One spreadsheet. Gotcha.
And when I bring the board a recommendation, it is truly what you guys have approved. The only time it may go over, and it doesn't happen like when I initially place the order, but if a principal calls up 2 weeks after implementation and says, Bob, I need 10 more chairs or I need 5 extra desks or whatever that case may be, then I go out and order something additional. But when I bring the board, the finance committee, and the board a recommendation, it is exactly what you guys have approved.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, any more questions on that? Then we have about 14 minutes, and I wanted to spend a couple of minutes on fund balances committed to long-term capital projects, because we told you that we would bring this back to you for conversation as we move throughout this fiscal year. And then also I have an item of interest under other that I'd just like to give you an update on also. So you have seen the beginnings of this working report, and that is that we're approximately 8% or $5 million above the 25% threshold as of the end of the last fiscal year. Mm-hmm. We're looking to commit a total of about $12.5 million in construction projects over the next 5 years, which could include roofing replacements, HVAC units and control replacement, and other improvements to 21st century facilities, including implementation of STEAM. Also, we've been working on a master facility plan. A report is due to the board later this year, and we're in the process of putting together that document. So that will have implications on any future capital project recommendations that we bring to this committee and ultimately to the board. So what are my recommendations for fund balances over the next two-year period? First recommendation that I would have would be to allow $500,000 from accumulated fund balances to complete the projects as you have seen to date and that you will see over the next month or two for implementation of capital projects to be completed during the summer of 2013. These will include the Hadley LMC project, Hadley interior planting, and initial implementation of STEM, continued rollout of 21st century furniture, and then, as I've stated throughout, we need to start replacing our alarms and intercom systems. Mm-hmm. And this is something outside of the fire alarm, not the fire alarm, but the emergency alarm systems, the camera and the A-phone recommendations that we brought to you last week and you're going to see again this evening. I'd like to commit $1.5 million from fund balances for roofing and or HVAC replacement at various sites. And when I say various, what I am saying is all of our buildings need work and will need work in the next 5 years with regards to HVAC and roof replacement. And then finally, we're recommending setting aside $3 million to address the long-term facility needs of the district, which could include property acquisition. Any questions on those recommendations?
Is this going to go to the full board?
Yes, we have been on for discussion, I believe, for the whole board.
For next time. February 10th.
Is that, I mean, we feel we need to bring it to the whole board for approval, but that instead of looking out further than 2 years, we felt we had to bring you something that's pretty concise and then update that perhaps in year two even. You know, maybe you may have some changes
absolutely.
In that, but this is our recommendation for the next 2 years.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay, then I spoke just a couple of minutes ago about a conversation I'd like to make you aware of regarding other. I got a call from a contractor late October. He wrote me a letter regarding the waiving of impact fees for a development that's proposed in the TIF district, one of the Glendale Heights TIF districts. It's actually TIF number 3, and it's a piece of property that's being developed for senior housing development. And it's actually going to, I believe the location is behind the Portillo's over on North Avenue. So in that area that's undeveloped, back behind, off of North Avenue. I spoke to District 87. District 87 does not have any desire, and they've already told the contractor that they will not be waiving their impact fees. I sent the developer an impact fee statement estimating what the fees would be, which are about $39,000 for this development. I haven't heard back from them. I sent it out last Wednesday or Thursday, and neither has Chris McLean down at District 87. He sent it on the same day.
Portion 87 has a different amount.
Yeah, theirs is about $17,000-$18,000, and ours is about $39,000. I just wanted to make you aware of that in case this contractor or developer would reach out to board members. I would just like you to remember that this is already in a TIF district, so our our rights to increases in property values are gonna freeze for the next 23 years. And after discussing it with my partners down at 87, we said, you know, they're already getting the benefit of being in a TIF. Why should we also be considering waiving impact fees? So,
and they're asking because of the kind of property development it is, that it's a senior development?
It's a senior development.
They won't have children in the system, so that they're really not a burden to us.
Yeah, but like you said, they're already getting
Who gets the benefit? I mean,
the incremental increase in the value of the property, that will go to the village.
Right. Mm-hmm. So the village gets the benefit, but the developer doesn't. Unless the village is kicking some money back. Developer, per se.
I mean, that could very likely be the case, that they're giving some kind of break to that development, to attract that development. The other thing, I mean, the argument typically is when there's a request for a waiver is that you're paying impact fees because this development is going to bring students into your system, which are going to cost you money. Their argument is we're not going to cost you any money, and we're going to pay property taxes.
Well, I think even though it's a senior development, well, I don't know what kind, if it's like a Del Webb or is it an assisted living.
They described it as 55 years or older, okay. One and two bedrooms.
I think we heard recently about a lot of, Springbank kids, families, like Del Webb communities.
Because they had to open up their
covenant. A bus had to run around through there because so many kids had moved back. So you are seeing, even though they don't allow it, you still do see them.
There could be. Right. Yeah.
And, 15 years from now, the development could change hands or something could change and it becomes apartment living.
So that was, I just wanted to make you aware of that. As I said, I did send them an impact fee statement. We have not received any impact fees or any additional communication from the developer or contractor. So
okay.
That's all I have for this evening. Any other issues or comments you care to make this evening? Or any questions I can answer for you?
Thanks for your information. Thanks for the email back.
No problem. So it's 7:23. We'll be getting started again in just a few minutes with this evening's board meeting.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bob.
Thanks, Bob.